Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, man. Listen here, everybody. Listen to me right now. This is June the 1st. This is the Eric Terrell Show. We are live. I am here. And we are joined by Asia Downing.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. The one and only Asia Downing. Okay. Now, I'm going to start this special episode. I'm going to start this special episode today by saying thank you. I want to say thank you right here and right now on June the 1st, 2016, to everybody for supporting me and for teaching me, okay? I learn by lack of support, and I grow by the energy of those who do support. So I want to thank my detractors. I want to thank my supporters. I want to thank everybody who paved the way. I want to thank everybody who believes in me. Mr. Touré Gordon, Mr. Dove Davidoff, Mr. Mark Norman, Mr. Monroe Martin, who we'll talk to today, Talent the Comedian, whose name I will say again in a little while. Those are just a few of the names of the headliners, the national headliners. Arnaz J is another name. These are guys who took me under their wing, guys who showed me things, told me things, and gave me a stage. I want to thank Kazi's Comedy Club. I want to thank the Laugh House Comedy Club. I want to thank, I definitely want to especially thank Helium Comedy Club. I'm done thanking for now because I can just go and thank. I can just thank all day. I can thank until the cows come home. But if you don't know how special today is for me, if you've seen my Facebook post, then you do know. But if you don't, you'll find out soon, especially after we talk to our special guest. We've got to get him on the air soon because he's got things to do, okay? So we'll have just a small chat after we chat with our very special guest. Prior to that, however, we're going to hear from Asia Downing. Asia, do you have any thoughts? Well, first of all, let me tell you guys what we're doing today. let me tell you guys what we're doing today. See, on June the 1st, my stand-up anniversary, I typically push aside all the topics that I have to talk about. I push aside the race, I push aside the relationships, I push aside the religion, and I just talk comedy. I get selfish, for lack of a better word. I just talk about comedy, okay? Now, our relationship series, Summer Love, is coming, so if that's what you're here for, tune in a little while, okay? Girl Power is the series we're doing right now. Last week, we had female political discrimination, and next week, we'll talk about female or gender discrimination in church. And the week after that, we've got professional gender discrimination, all types of good topics. Now, I want to thank Asia, and I want to thank everybody for just letting me be a little emotional. I'm emotional today, and I apologize because that's what good friends do. Good friends know how to let you be emotional. So I want to thank you for letting me get in my feelings.
Oh, no problem.
Now, we're going to talk today about the decision that I had to make, the decision that many black comedians have to make. Like I said, I push aside all of the usual topics on June 1st, and I talk about comedy, particularly a topic that I struggle with, something that I really, really struggle with. And I try to get somebody who can really be of help, someone who can talk about that struggle. Now, last year, the struggle was whether or not a Christian comedian must be a clean comedian. That's a huge struggle that I have, that I still have. We talked about that last year. This year, we're talking about black comedians, okay? I'm a Christian comedian, and I'm a black comedian. And there's a decision that we have to make, us black comedians. Some black comedians never make that decision. Can you make it in comedy without making that decision? Or must you choose one or the other? Must you choose urban or mainstream? And that's the decision that we're going to be talking about, because I struggle with it. And I'm going to tell you why I struggle with it and how I struggle with it and just how I began struggling with it. Now, your thoughts on the topic or anything else that I've said, Asia Downing. Thank you for being with me for 5 years, Asia Downing. You're the best, big sis. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Have you decided? Like you said, you're battling with decision, but you're not leaning. Are you leaning toward mainstream or urban more than the other?
Well, you know, it seems like to be timeless, to have greatness, to be a household name, if you will, to be a classic comedian, to reach the quote-unquote top of the industry, that you have to become mainstream. All right, now what exactly that means, maybe we'll talk about in a second with Monroe. Monroe's coming. He keeps texting me. He's going through a lot, but he'll be on the air, and I'm going to tell you how, and I'm going to tell you who Monroe Martin is. But what were you saying?
Oh no, well, I was just saying. I feel like there's a moment where you can cross over. Like if you're starting out urbanized, and I feel like nowadays with all the social media and internet exposure, that it's not that hard to become the other, because most of the black comedians that are mainstream started out as urban comedians. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that Kevin Hart has changed, in a sense, from going from urban to mainstream. And then it's some, like, what did I just see? I just saw her on a commercial, and I really don't know her name. She's starring in Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, Leslie. I forget her last name.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great. She's phenomenal.
She's awesome, but I literally remember just seeing her doing just typical urban stuff, and now she's doing car commercials. And she's just the same old fun black person. So I'll say be who you are, because if it's meant for you to be where you're supposed to be, then God's going to take it that way. It's really, you shouldn't have to change up. You don't have to, you know, sell your soul to the devil, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, right,
to
right.
To get that fame. I feel like you remain true to yourself and true to what you're supposed to do. It may take months, it may take years, but if it's meant to be, it's going to happen.
You know, true words were spoken just now by you, Asia Downing. Very, very true words. I believe, I wholeheartedly believe everything you just said. See, the problem is, though, that what Eric Terrell struggles with is the opposite, okay? It's not whether to turn my urban into mainstream, but it's how do I urbanize my mainstream? Because I relate to a broad audience. I don't relate to an urban audience, and it's something
well,
that
you don't. Maybe you don't have to.
Yeah, and,
you know,
see, and that's the thing. That's why I said. Do we need to? You know. Yeah. Go ahead, Asia. Did you have something to say? Give me 1 second.
Oh no. I'm concurring. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, here we go. So Monroe Martin, who made it onto the show just now after his adventures. He's been on the Tonight Show. Now, you know, Asia, I'm not a baby anymore. Like it's when you have a few years in, you're a baby, you know. But after a while, once you grow up, say you live a certain amount of years, or say you've been doing something for a certain amount of years, and you're not a baby, it's just not cute anymore. It's not cute to be a comedian once you've reached a certain amount of time. Because when people ask you, well, how long have you been doing comedy? Sometimes you don't want to answer that question. Because you want to have more to say behind your answer. And what I do know is that this is someone who has quite a bit to say behind his answer to that question. He's been on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Last Comic Standing. You guys know him. Okay, Guy Cole, Joking Off. I almost said Jacking Off. Joking Off on MTV. Monroe Martin III. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, sir? Did you just call me by my SAG name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a three.
I was listening. Your age in comedy determines how many years you're doing it. So I was like, take advantage of the fact that you've been doing it for such a short amount of time, because you can do more with the amount of time you're doing. Can I curse?
Cuss. Well, today you can cuss. Cuss away, please. Today you can cuss.
What I learned, you have more freedom when one, you've been doing it for a shorter amount of time, and then two, when nobody knows you. You got more freedom to develop. Because once the industry picks you and goes, hey, we think you're that guy, if you're not fully developed, then that's what you're showing people. They're showing them what you have been doing in your last 5 years of comedy. And if you haven't been really challenging yourself and trying to be the best and trying to be your funniest, then, yeah. But fucking bump your head as much as you can. Run into that coffee table as much as you can. And, you know, I wish I would have learned that when I was still in Philly. I learned that in New York, but I took advantage of that.
Right. And I want everyone who listens to kind of parlay or relate metaphorically all of the words that we speak and the things that we say to exactly what you've committed to and what you've given your life to, because the same thing applies to everything, especially everything that I just heard you say, Monroe. Now, how long have you been doing comedy exactly? Because I lost count how many years you've been doing comedy. And tell me whether you think is 5 years old? Because I feel like, I know I'm not, you know, a vet, but I feel like I need something behind my age now. You know what I'm saying?
5 years is a less amount of time. Even 10. 10 is when you start as a comic to go, oh, none of this matters. It's about what I feel and what I think. At 10, you're no longer going, oh, man, I hope they think this, I hope they're this, and I hope there it is. You start taking more responsibility for your comedy and going, I'm going to make them laugh at this. I'm going to make them see this. I'm going to make them do this. You're more in control because you're the comic. You're the maestro. You make them do whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when is your anniversary? Do you remember the first? I feel like I get ridiculous with this whole anniversary nonsense. You know, I get in my emotions and I'm like, dang. You know what? What have I done? This is June 1st here. You know. So you don't.
Yeah, but why? Why even do that? Why put that unnecessary pressure on yourself? Just go look at what I'm doing. You did the hardest thing about comedy is sticking with it, even when there's no payoff. You know what I mean? Like, even when there's no visible payoff, it's like, are you still willing to do it? Like, talent told me and Derek that when we, the first year I was in comedy, you go, there's some people who've done it 20 years plus, and they have very minimal success. Are you willing to be that comic at some point? I'm like, hell yeah, because you love what you do.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to sound ungrateful or anything like that, but I'm grateful for all the TV. I'm grateful for everything I've done, but at this point, it's just what I'm supposed to be doing. That's like just another level. That's just the next step in my career, and I'm grateful for those experiences. But now I look at them like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing these things. And this is a part of getting my name out. This is a part of being able to draw my own crowds and people who come to see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, this is good. This is good because I can call you. You know, I got Monroe Martin like in my back pocket. You know, he's a person I can call and have these conversations. But we might as well do it on the radio so people can hear it. First of all, I'm gonna give you a really, really quick anecdote. But first of all, before I do that, I want you to describe yourself as far as urban and mainstream. Describe Monroe Martin. Who is Monroe Martin's stage identity? And what?
Oh crap!
Go ahead.
Me. That's not, like I don't want to take away from anybody who considers himself urban or mainstream. But mainstream is just. It's like you're not underground anymore. You're talking about you're doing it on a bigger level, but you know, like you're out there for everybody. You're talking to more people. I just don't talk to a specific group of people. Like I don't want to do that because then I won't be doing myself justice. But I don't knock anybody who feels more comfortable talking to their own people, like people who only do black rooms, or people who only do Hispanic rooms, white rooms, because there's white urban too, you know. But I feel like I'm not working hard to be funny to talk to a handful of people. Like I'm not doing that. This is not FUBU. I'm not for us by us. I'm for everybody. I'm
right.
For whoever the hell understands me. Whoever can relate to me. So I'm not going to specifically go, this is for black people and this is who I'm more comfortable with. No, I'm telling my jokes. I'm talking about my experiences for whoever wants to listen.
Cool, cool. That's good stuff. Now, I'm going to get your response really quickly. See, this is where the struggle comes from, okay? See, I started at the Laugh House, like I think you did, the Laugh House was, I think, a bit of both, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was mainstream and it was urban. So the Laugh House closed on me 2 years after I started. And now, you know, I'm young, so I'm just looking for a stage, you know. I always have, you know, people like T-Ray Gordon, people like Lawrence Killebrew, people, headliners who give me stages, but I'm looking for something consistent, somewhere to call home. So I find Helium Comedy Club. I call Helium Comedy Club home because I'm looking for one, because the Laugh House is gone and I'm rocking. I'm really, really building my time at this point. I'm building my time on stage. These people are feeling me, you know what I mean? And I'm feeling these people. Like, I'm loving it at Helium. I do hosting auditions. I play second in their Philly's Funniest Contest. I get hired. I'm hosting on weekends. I'm opening for people who come to the club, Dove, Davidoff, Mark Norman, D-Ray. I'm hosting for all these people. And I didn't notice that I was transforming. Throughout all this time I'm doing at Helium, I kind of stopped, and I didn't realize that I did this, but I stopped doing what we call urban rooms. So I'm rocking on this mainstream stage. I'm flowing on the mainstream stage, and I go back to urban stages from time to time, and I'm terrible. Like, I suck. I'm pathetic on these urban stages.
I'll tell you why you suck. It's because you started talking to your audience, to the audience a specific way. So you're no longer talking like yourself, You got to get to a point where you can do the same material in both rooms or in any room without switching up your tone, without going into your, without code switching and stuff like that, you know? Without going in, oh, I'm going to make my voice lighter,
right,
or I'm going to talk slower, or I'm going to make them focus more on the punchline to show I'm a writer. No, just tell your damn jokes. Talk about how you feel. And I went through that in Philly for a while when I was there. But then I had comics like Toure, who I would watch do both in Smash, even this comic named Anton Schubert, who would do both in Smash. And I go, how are they smashing? Oh, because they're themselves. They're not letting the audience dictate who they're going to be that night. They're like, I'm me. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to be funny, and I'm going to be me.
Right.
That's what you
got to
do.
That's, yeah, yeah, that's real. That's real. And JB Smoove actually told me the same thing when I talked to JB. He's like, you know, you make your own audience. You know, you don't look for a reaction from a specific type of audience. No, you just make your own audience. Now, another guy who I ran into, who I love to death, while I'm bombing and sucking at these urban rooms, a guy I ran into is Talent. And
Talent's great.
Oh yeah, he's the man. He's the man. And he told me, that I struggle with this because I'm black. You know, so I'm trying to see. It's one thing, like Asia said in the beginning of the show, when you urban and you gotta be mainstream. But when you're mainstream and you gotta be urban, it's tough when you're black, because now it's like you can't talk to your own people. You know, and so Talent's giving me pointers and telling me how to approach black people, how to approach my people. This is what Talent is teaching me. And he says, you know, you gotta figure it out, because the last thing you want to happen is for you to be on television or make it mainstream and you come back home and don't know how to talk to your own people.
Go ahead. No, finish your thing. Finish your thought.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that I ignored those words. I didn't really listen to Talent. I decided I was going to figure it out on my own. I said, I'm going to learn how to talk to black people my way. And I say black people because most of the urban rooms that I go to are predominantly black rooms. And so what I figured out is that I have a set of material that works there. It always works there. And now I'm good in both places, but I don't know if I'm good in both places for the right reasons. I'm not exactly being myself. I'm just doing what works there. You know what I mean?
All right, so I got a bunch of things to say on this. And I've been.
I know you got to go. Whenever you got
to
go, just let me know. Go ahead.
Okay. Cool. So we often mislabel where just because the audience is predominantly black doesn't make it urban. There's a lot of black people who do not live in the hood and who also do not identify as. So we like to
like
think
myself.
That. Yeah, when we're talking to black people, that we got to talk down to them, which is disrespectful to your own people. I'm not going to play the common denominator. Just because I think that may relate to you, I'm not going to talk about being broke, because there's a bunch of black people who may not have experienced that. I'm not going to talk about having a baby mama, because there's a bunch of black people who can't identify that. I'm going to talk to you about my stuff in hopes that it relates to you, but I'm not going to talk down to you so you feel better about yourself and that you laugh, because we, and this is like, I don't want to get in like a whole preachy thing, we're just like, nah, like we're going to relate, and I'm going to show you that we're equal by not talking down to you and by just talking to you like a human being, because everything in the media towards us is always dumbed down. Everything, the music is dumbed down, commercials are dumbed down, television is dumbed down. Whenever they give it to black people, they have to dumb it down, and we play into it, and we confuse hood culture or poor culture for black culture. And I don't do that. I'm like, nah, just because I grew up poor don't mean I have to continue to have a poor mentality. And I do that with my comedy. Just because I was at a disadvantage as a kid don't mean I have to continue living like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's real. I see exactly where you're coming from. The thing is, I don't want to make it seem like I'm out just talking down to them, like making it look like
no,
like I'm
no.
better
we
than them
like
or better.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I mean by talking down is just like we're doing things that we know are going to relate to them quickly. Do a thing when your woman
yeah.
come home and she ain't giving head. But then, you know, these white rooms and white people are allowed, and white comics are allowed to talk about the most obscure stuff. But that's labeled
yeah.
on. He's a writer. He's this. You know what I mean? Black comics have very broad imaginations, but some of them just are afraid to unleash that because they don't want to be judged.
Yeah.
And they don't
yeah.
want to not
yeah.
bomb. That's the last thing I fear is bombing. I'm like, I don't give
oh, yeah.
a damn if I bomb. I come back tomorrow or do it the next show.
Yeah, yeah, that's real. That's real.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna let you go. You gave us a lot. Now, if there's anything that you want to say that you haven't said already, or any closing words you want to give me before you rock. See,
yes,
see,
like
Milo Martin has a meeting to get to. See, that's what. That's what people like Monroe Martin do. They go to meetings while comics like me are doing internet radio
like,
shows.
I'm trying to advance my career. You gotta meet people. You gotta always with something. If you can't do something, find somebody who can or who would teach you. And that's what this meeting is doing. I'm on this meeting to meet with a writer, a show writer, so I can be a better
yeah.
person in this business.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Of course! Yeah, yeah, yeah. So go ahead.
Where
are we going to close out with?
I always reiterate that whenever I do like radio interviews, people always ask me, "What can you tell somebody in comedy?" I go, "Bomb as much as you can. Don't let nobody make you feel like just because you bombing, you're not good. Because just because you're killing, don't mean you're good either. That's people who kill, and then when you dissect their material, you go, they talked about nothing." So
yeah.
bomb until you get it right.
That's it. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal words from a phenomenal stand-up comedian, a phenomenal black, urban and mainstream stand-up comedian.
I'll call
the
urban
that,
or mainstream. Just to say comic.
I don't
label me. I'm just a comic. I'm just a comedian.
Urban, black, poor,
Fire
rich.
Didn't have to be urban. Eddie Murphy didn't have to be urban. Chris Rock didn't have to be urban.
But yeah,
but you see,
you got a lot of people that will call them urban because they're black.
That's what they.
And you cleared that up. You cleared that up.
But if you ask
yeah.
any white guy who go, "Oh man, Chris Rock's my favorite," you consider him urban? I wouldn't think so. He's just funny. Yeah, be funny.
Yeah, yeah. This the show got a little too cultural. I didn't mean it to go down such this road with urban and black.
That's
a sensitive. That those are sensitive labels. We can't. But we can go on forever.
Yeah.
Bomb as much as you can. You are Monroe Martin. I on Twitter and Facebook, right? Twitter and Instagram, right? Yeah. I for third. Monroe Martin, I. So, yeah, appreciate you, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
My man.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Asia, do you have any last words or any response to the back and forth that me and Monroe just had before we leave?
I ain't using the word urban. I know that.
I know it got scary, didn't it? I felt gunshots coming at me. I was like, "Ooh, I can't keep saying this word."
Why you call him the N word?
Right. See, I called him urban. I called him urban, trying to say that you can do what you want in urban rooms. You can be urban if you will not be urban, but you can talk to urban people if you want to. But to close the portion of the show where we use the U word, let me just say that the U word does not mean black Every single time I say the word, I'm talking about a specific culture that does not identify only with black cultures. Of course, in the media and, of course, on television, that's what they connotated with. But that's not what we're connotating it with. You heard Monroe say yourself that there's white urban, too. And there is. There's tons of white urban. Urban does not mean black, because I had to get that out, AJ, because I didn't want to get shot. But
I know.
but like I said, Milo Martin can say what he wants to say about my 5 years. He can say whatever he wants about just getting started. What I'm going to say about my 5 years is that it's not cute. I'm not bumping in the coffee tables like he said I am. Now, I love him. I appreciate all of his advice. But I need something now, and I'm going to get something. I have something. I have a lot more than I had when I was at 4 years. But this is nothing that I'm just getting started. This is my life. You know, this is something that I've got to show something for. And at the end of the day, how much I have to show for it does not define how much I love it. I'm just saying that I'm not giving myself a pass here. That's why I get emotional sometimes, because I need something here. But, I mean, we get in relationships for what? Because we need something. We need something. But at the end of the day, if we're not in a relationship, does it define how much love we have for the world, or how much, or how great of a person we are? No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like I said, I need it. I want this, but I love this. At the end of the day, the same way Asia Downing loves her acting, I love my comedy. Okay, so I thank everybody for the support in my 5 years. I am not urban. I am mainstream. They ask you who is Eric Terrell. He's a mainstream stand-up comedian. I don't have mainstream success. I've never been on a television set. I've never been on mainstream radio. I've never been in a film. But if they ask you about his comedy style, he's not urban. He's mainstream. And sooner or later, I have some mainstream success to show for it, but that's not what matters at the end of the day. What matters at the end of the day is love. Love yourself. Love other people. Love what you do, love the truth, and love love. It's not hard to love love, because all you've got to do is love God, because God is love, and God, God did it. God did it. There we go, AJ. What are we going to talk about next week? We're going to talk about acting? Yes, 7 years or six or whatever.
I have no acting anniversary date. My birthday. So we
your birthday. Cool. Okay. We'll do that. We'll do that.
Okay, came out reciting Shakespeare and stuff. And it was not a game. Nothing. I know what my birthday gonna be. Know what she gonna be doing.
We're gonna bring Angela Bassett on so she can give you a lesson like Monroe gave me.
Right. I know urban actress. I ain't no urban actress either.
You better tell him.